Live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose direct chat with James or join the official group chat room. You can send email to James at f2f@innersights.com. That's f2f@innersites.com. There is a video chat room to see James in action as well as other F2F listeners. www.ivisit.com has the free software to download and access the Feet to Fire video chat room. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
Yes, everything counts in large amounts. Those grabbing hands will do business at our expense to do business. We talked with Tammy Jo Kennedy about the medical adjustments and so forth that she did and how being prevented. We have next George L. Carlo, Dr. George L. Carlo, who is wrote a book called Cell Phones, Invisible Hazards in the Wireless Age, an insider's alarming discoveries about cancer and genetic disease. Dr. George Carlo is PhD, Master of Science, and he's a lawyer. And he has founded the Science and Public Policy Institute. Dr. Carlos headed a $28.5 million research program funded by the cell phone industries from 1993 to 1999 and has appeared on 2020, 60 Minutes, World News Tonight, CBS News with Dan Rathers, Today Show, as well as CNN, Fox News, MSNB, etc., etc. His website, safewireless.org, is a place that you can find out about just how safe or unsafe wireless is. He was here a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, and has returned to go into more depth and detail. And I want to welcome Doctor to the show.
Hi, James. Thank you.
Now, so one of the things about this wireless is that the cat is out of the bag between wireless internet, wireless phones, wireless TV sends house to house, whole house beamings that keep all the stuff. It's not a question of if wireless is here to stay. It is here to stay, and it's how we can survive within those realms.
That's correct, James. You know, the cell phones, which were the first wireless devices that came into broad use, first came into use in 1984, and it took from 1984 to 2004 for the first 1 billion cell phone users. 18 months later, we had the second 1 billion. And 9 months after that, we had the third 1 billion. We hit the third 1 billion last month. Now, on top of that, so we have 3 billion cell phone users in the world at this point. On top of that, we have countless other millions using Wi-Fi or wireless internet access. And the difficulty is that with these devices, there has to be a connection to a base station all the time so that what has happened is that the information-carrying radio waves, the information packets that are the substance of wireless communication, are now occurring in the ambient environment in unprecedented levels. And these information-carrying radio waves are those waves that we have found to be involved in causing genetic damage, leakage in the blood-brain barrier, disruption of intercellular communication, and a whole host of symptoms that follow from that. So we are very, very concerned that the ambient environment, the background environment, is reaching a saturation point of these dangerous radio waves.
I guess this would be the kind of the logical analog to secondhand smoke.
That's right. And, you know, 5 years ago, and of course this is high technology, so 5 years ago is the old days. But in the old days, 5, 6, 7 years ago, we were mainly concerned about the near-field plume, the area 5 or 6 inches from the cell phone antenna, so that most of the information-carrying radio waves were concentrated in that area 5 or 6 inches from the antenna. And it made it possible, for example, to use a cell phone without being exposed by using a headset, so that you were able to move the phone itself away from your body more than 6 or 7 inches, and the amount of exposure would be greatly reduced. In fact, in the book that I co-authored with Martin Schramm, the cell phones book that you mentioned at the top of the show, the recommendation that we made was that people use headsets when they use cell phones. Unfortunately, today, headsets are not a complete intervention, because the background level now, as you state the analogy to secondhand smoke, is so high that in most urban and suburban areas, it's impossible for men, women, and children to be free of exposure to these information-carrying radio waves. And the thing that's most dangerous here is that these information-carrying radio waves occur nowhere in nature. They're completely man-made. And because they're completely man-made, our bodies react to these information-carrying radio waves as though they are foreign invaders. And the first thing that happens is that cell membranes, whether they're brain cells or blood cells or liver cells, close down so that nutrients are not able to get into the cell, and waste product builds up inside the cell. And you have a disruption of intercellular communication in the first instance, meaning that cells are not able to efficiently talk to each other. And if cells can't talk to each other, they're not able to function together as tissue. And if tissues are not able to talk to each other, they can't function together as organs. And if tissues and organs can't talk to each other, the organism becomes ill. So that this disruption of intercellular communication is a fundamental physiologic process that is disrupted by these dangerous radio waves, and there is no threshold for that effect. Because this is a biological response, because this is triggered by the information-carrying radio wave, and it sets in place a cascade of biological responses at the cell membrane level, there is no safe level. And the difference between people who have symptoms, and symptoms range from headaches to difficulty focusing to sleep disruption to unexplained anxiety to more serious conditions like electrohypersensitivity, all the way to autism, and then the development of tumors and immune system diseases, for example. These symptoms are there, triggered with no threshold. And the difference between people who are symptomatic and non-symptomatic is only the ability of the person's body to compensate or to overtake the damage. And as people get older, for example, their defense mechanisms are less efficient. And we're beginning to see in our registry, we run a registry in Washington of people who have symptoms related to electromagnetic radiation exposure, and we're seeing more and more symptoms in younger and younger people. When we first began this registry 4 or 5 years ago, most of the symptoms were seen in people who were older, in their 60s, 70s, and people who use cell phones. Now we're seeing symptoms in younger and younger people, and again, this is indicating that this saturation point of these radio waves is definitely having an impact on the population.
Now, it's kind of, isn't it ironic that the devices used for communication would actually disrupt communication in our natural biological functions?
And that is the irony, it isn't only only our human biological function. A couple of months ago, there was a series of stories in the media about colony collapse disorder among bees. Bees were disappearing and are disappearing, and this phenomena beginning about a year or so ago has happened simultaneously on 4 continents. And we know from a biological point of view that bees that are in the environment where these information-carrying radio waves are will have a disruption of their intercellular communication. And bees navigate by detecting subtle changes in the Earth's gravitational field. And if their intercellular communication is not working properly, they won't be able to detect those changes, and therefore their homing instincts will be compromised. And this is exactly what we're seeing with this colony collapse disorder. These bees are not able to make it back to the hive, and when they can't make it back to the hive, they die within 24 hours because they do not have nutrition. And this is important because bees are responsible for pollinating our food supply, and in some places it's about 80% of the food supply is dependent on bees for cross-pollination. And when this research came out of Germany a couple of months ago, what really grabbed the media's attention was the fact that back in the 1940s, Albert Einstein was commenting in an article about how we're moving now into nuclear power age and nuclear weapons age. And Einstein was lamenting the fact that we were now going to be insulting or impacting our environment in ways that we cannot predict. And Einstein said to watch the bees, because the bees are very sensitive. It's a very sensitive species. And Einstein's quote was that when the bees disappear, mankind will disappear within 4 to 5 years after that. So this garnered an awful lot of attention. Now, from our perspective, the bee problem tells us that we are nearing the saturation point of these information-carrying radio waves in our background environment. And we see that as another red flag of risk. And it means that consumers are in a jam here, because people have become very dependent not only on cell phones but also on wireless, Wi-Fi in the home, Wi-Fi in offices, Wi-Fi in schools, which we in the Safe Wireless Initiative believe is absolutely crazy. We do not believe that Wi-Fi should be put in schools at all, because the younger people are much more susceptible to the damage caused by the information-carrying radio waves. And some of these conditions, these symptoms that we're seeing in our registry, attention deficit disorder, poor retention of information, difficulty focusing, these are all symptoms that are consistent with disrupted intercellular communication. And they're also the kinds of things that you see more and more these days among students. And parents and teachers are not connecting the dots. They're not looking at these learning deficits as having a relationship to the young people using cell phones or having Wi-Fi in the environment.
Now, it is an idea that the bees and the people and all these miscommunicate, and it's kind of like, well, how do we know that, and how can it go in our head? One of the principles of making an antenna is to make the antenna in a length or a subdivision length of the wavelengths of this. So the actual smaller human skulls are smaller and thus could fit better in the wavelength of the microwave range to be captured better than a bigger skull. I mean, is that the principle?
You're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. So that you have greater penetration, and you also have greater impact of the radio waves, because you're right, they're closer in wavelength, so there will be greater absorption. Greater coupling. The information carrying radio waves can couple more with a younger skull, younger brain tissue. It's more aqueous. There are a whole bunch of reasons why we are concerned. The other thing that, aside from the physics and the biology, is the fact that we have younger people using phones more and more. For example, the Disney Corporation and Sprint have a joint venture where they're actually marketing to children 8 to 12 years old. They've identified that as a market. They call it the tweeners. And the idea is to get these kids using cell phones earlier and earlier in life. And no one has any clue what will happen if somebody uses this technology for 20, 25 years. We have no information about that. And we know, based on the science that we have now, that it is going to be dangerous. And what is very interesting about it is that when we describe these corporations like Disney and Sprint and some of the others targeting these young children, it is an awful lot like the unsavory characters who hang around the playgrounds to get young people to try things that they shouldn't at a very young age. Now, this is going on right underneath our noses, and our young children are being compromised. And most parents and teachers are unaware of it.
Isn't it up to the technology to prove its safeness rather than us prove it's not safe?
In normal circumstances, that is absolutely the case. But cell phones in 1984 were exempted from pre-market testing so that they were not tested for safety prior to going into the marketplace. And by the 1990s, when the $28.5 million program that I ran was put into place, there were 15 million Americans using cell phones. And because there was no pre-market testing, the only jurisdictional step that the Food and Drug Administration had left was to ban cell phones. And from a political point of view, even in the early 90s, that was not viable. So what we have here is that there were no studies done to predict the safety of cell phones, and there is no official post-market surveillance being done now in the United States or elsewhere in the country or in the world to see what is happening to people who are using cell phones. So that cell phones, Wi-Fi, WiMAX, satellite radio are all unregulated with regard to safety. And this is something, again, that most people out there do not realize. When we go and lecture and I go around the country and actually around the world talking about this problem, most people will say, well, the government must be looking into this. If this were a problem, certainly the government would have done something or the government would be doing something. The sad truth is that the government has not exercised any regulatory authority at all with regard to cell phones, so consumers are completely on their own.
That's absolutely amazing in that, well, it's like it's a classic Pandora's box. We've let it out, and now the genie's out of the bottle. We can't put it back in, so now what do we do? It's almost like it was a plan, like this is such a great idea. We don't want to even know if it's bad because it's too good a plan to not let happen.
Well, I mean, the news is not all bad. Because we understand the mechanism of harm, for example, we know what happens at the cell membrane level. We know the mechanism of disruption of intracellular communication. Because we know that, we're able to identify interventions that target those mechanisms. so that there are now in existence technologies such as noise field, active and passive noise field. There are subtle energy interventions that restore intercellular communication. The noise field interventions stop the cell membrane damage from happening. Actually, they serve to mask the radio waves, so the cell membrane response that leads to these symptoms and diseases does not actually ensue. Those are called primary interventions. The restoration of intercellular communication, that is a secondary intervention, and as I said, there are a number of energy products that do that. And then tertiary intervention has to do with wellness, food supplements and, exercise and the things that you hear people talking about just to be healthy. All of those things are short-term remedies, however, because they are able to help the person who is using the device short term. But as these background levels of information carrying radio waves are so dramatically increasing, the only long-term answer that we've been able to identify is a return to a fiber optic based infrastructure for telecommunications, as opposed to a wireless based infrastructure. And the irony of this, James, is that by the middle 90s, about 80% of North America was fiber optically wired underneath railroad tracks, subway tracks. All throughout North America, you have fiber optic cable. And what happened in the middle 90s was that the government, the Federal Communications Commission, began to auction off the frequency band, the bandwidth. And in the auction, they raised a series of auctions, they raised about $50 billion. But the companies that bought the bandwidth did not have cash to pay for the bandwidth. So they gave 10% down to the FCC, and the deal was that after the wireless technology was out there and they were able to collect bills from consumers, then they would be able to pay off the rest of the bill. So that what happened was is that the Federal Communications Commission and the mobile phone industry were in effect in bed together with a vested interest for rapid deployment of the wireless technology so that the government could collect money and so that the industry could make money. So fiber optic infrastructure was kicked to the curb, totally abandoned, in favor of this wireless infrastructure that we now have with base stations and towers and antennas on top of public buildings, on top of schools, on top of fire stations. And that is where we made the mistake, because with a fiber optic infrastructure where we are maximizing signaling through fiber optic cable, which incidentally is much more efficient than wireless communication. A fiber optic cable carries 100,000 times more data than a wireless signal.
All right, hold on. We'll stop, take a break, and we'll come right back and continue with that fiber optic, which I like. I like that idea of it. We'll find out if that still can happen and so on. We'll be back to continue talking with Dr. Carlo. The phone lines are open, and if you want to pop in with questions along the way, and we're going to find all about Wi-Fi, wireless, and what to do about it. Stay tuned.
Confuse the hell out of you with complex rate offers and rip you off for some more money?
Huh? I was calling to see how I could save money.
Get real. This is a corporation whose sole purpose is to make money on you, not save money for you.
Some phone companies bury their profits in complex savings plans. Others charge you flat rates for unlimited calls and then bank on you using less minutes, which ends up increasing your real price per minute cost. And if you use more minutes than they deem customary, you may be moved up to a higher rate. The solution is Invincible Phone Cards. From our website, you simply enter where you're calling from and where you're calling to. In seconds, there's a comprehensive, easy-to-read comparative chart empowering you to choose your real savings. You pay what you see, and you see what you save. In minutes after payments, you get your toll-free access and PIN numbers in your email. www.invphone.com. Invincible Phone Savings with Invincible Phone Cards. invphone.com.
Are you getting your greens? I'm James Othianchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. Now you can have your greens and drink them too with Innerfood by Inner Health Botanicals. Innerfood is 70% organic and 100% natural without fillers and is a whole food product totally assimilated by the body. Innerfood is spirulina, chlorella, dulse, kelp, spinach, alfalfa, barley, wheatgrass, rosehip, beetroot, and much more in real amounts, not just a sprinkle to fill out an inflated but impotent list of ingredients. Just mix a tablespoon in your protein shake or in your favorite fruit juice and you are good to go and go and go. Other greens on the shelf typically weigh 300 grams and sell for between $35 and $70. Innerfood is a full 400 grams, 33% more, for $39.95 plus shipping. Simply go to our website, feedtofire.com, and click on any InnerHealth Botanical banner and you're ready to order. Or call 866-762-9238 and be sure to mention you heard them on Feet to the Fire. Innerfood, building health from the insides out.
Make sure you stay tuned because you're listening to Feet to the Fire.
Million Americans suffer from sleep deficit. I'm James Othianchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, and I'd like to tell you about Earth Pulse Magnetic Field Supplementation. While using the Earth Pulse device, I found that I drifted off to sleep faster, I slept deeper, and I woke up more refreshed, and it does much, much more. Call them right now at 888-211-7888, or check out their website at www.earthpulse.net.
But wait, there's more. When you buy a new digitally programmed Earth Pulse version 4 magnetic supplementation device and use the special Feet to the Fire coupon code F2F, you'll receive an instant $50 savings. No rebates to get lost in the mail. Just $50 more in your pocket on your way to better health.
888-211-7888 or check out their website at earthpulse.net and use the special Feet to the Fire coupon code F2F. Earth Pulse. Deeper, more restful sleep, or your money back.
Hi, this is Jeff from the band Silvercord, and you're listening to Feet to the Fire. Check out Silvercord at www.silvercordproject.com.
Now we are talking live with George Carlo. Dr. Carlo is a expert in research on cell phone, actually, I guess, EM pollution in itself. But we've been talking about cell phones, and when I left, we left, Doctor, we were talking about how the light band was going to be used, fiber optics, was going to be used at first, and then this became more lucrative. Is there any chance, perhaps, of maybe ramping up and going back to some ways these light
cables? Well, that's what we hope, because if we go to a fiber optic infrastructure in North America, for example, and there would be certainly some conversion costs, but we do have a fiber optic spine through most of North America already, and we minimize the amount of wireless transmission, and at every wireless transmission we could treat that with noise field, for example, we would reduce the background radiation, the background concentration of information carrying radio waves that are dangerous, by 80 to 90%. So that there is a solution that is possible. There's a technology solution that's available. But it is a solution that requires political wherewithal, because this is a societal change. You know, we would love, for example, for the political system, the political candidates, for example, to in the first instance understand how serious this problem is, and if there is leadership, we'll be able to put these fiber optic and other types of interventions in place before we have a public health catastrophe. And that is what we believe. We believe we are on the road to a public health catastrophe of major proportions here.
Now, I'm not real optimistic that people will volunteer to conserve cell phone use, and I'm not optimistic that the companies will have any conscience at all. So I am very interested in these methods of healthy aspects, whether they be shielding or disruptors and even the health things you talked about. I did get a sample of this little device thing, little thing you put on the back of your cell phone that is supposed to vibrate with the energy created by the cell phone and kind of like mask out or give a kind of a background noise, which would drown out, if I'm correct in how it works. Is that one of the examples?
That is one of the examples. That's actually the passive noise field that has been out there. And I have to be a little bit careful because I make sure, because I operate out of a nonprofit and I'm completely independent, I do not talk about any products and I do not give any type of endorsement or anything like that. But with that said, the passive noise field is a technology that has a tremendous amount of benefit. The noise field technology was actually first developed in the military. And the reason that the military was interested in this is that, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, when we first began having intercontinental ballistic missiles, a radio signal was used to detonate the munition. And if you had stray radio signals on ships or planes, you would possibly detonate the bombs at a time when you didn't want them to be detonated on the ship. So they began putting communications personnel in lead-encased cubicles. And what happened over time was that these people began developing radiation sickness, so that the military, the Air Force, the Navy, and the Army had an important task, which was to protect the radio communications personnel while they were protecting the other soldiers. And there was a very aggressive technology program that was put in place in 1982. It was a classified program until 1994. And one of the technologies developed in that program was the noise field technology. And the noise field technology, as you described it, James, actually emits a low-energy random wave that attaches to the information-carrying radio wave, makes it look random or incoherent so that the sensors on the cell membrane in your biological cells, brain cells, blood cells, will not be able to see it and will not resonate with it so that those biological responses do not occur. And we call that a primary intervention. There's a passive noise field, which is a polymer-based generator of this noise field. And then there's also an active noise field, which requires a power source, and it's actually a microchip. So there are two different versions of the noise field, and as I said, it's very, very useful. The active and the passive noise field would be very important components of the fiber optic infrastructure, because what would happen then is that you would have the fiber optic cable, for example, replacing the base stations and the towers that you see littering the countryside, and then there would be nodes that would transmit a wireless signal, but the wireless signal would only go a few hundred feet instead of miles. Right now, when you turn on your cell phone, it has to connect to a base station that might be several miles away, and you have hundreds of thousands of cell phones attaching to the same base station, so that forms a matrix of exposure in the background environment. If we have a fiber optic infrastructure with noise field treatment at every node, your cell phone would have to carry a signal maybe a couple hundred feet to the nearest node. And both the cell phone and the node would be treated with noise field, or would have a noise field generator as part of the technology, so that we are lowering the background level by 80 to 90% of these information-carrying radio waves, but also protecting the user and protecting the people who are close to the nodes by having this technology that will mask the radio waves.
Now that is an excellent approach of, you know, still allowing the communication and yet making it responsible.
Absolutely. And this is why we're pushing so hard. At safewireless.org, we have a great deal of information about not only the problem, but some of these strategies for societal intervention. And again, we're hoping that we're able to attract the attention of the political system. I mean, it would be great if one of the presidential candidates grabbed onto something like this, because from a public health point of view, we are at the beginning of an epidemic curve, and it's not of just one disease. We have a paper coming out, a clinical paper coming out within the next couple of months that links these information-carrying radio waves to the epidemic of autism that we are now experiencing in the United States. Autism is a very serious condition, a very debilitating condition, and in the 1970s, autism occurred in about 1 in 10,000 births. By the 1990s, it was about 1 in 5,000 births. In 2002, it was 1 in 150 births. And today, clinicians treating autistic children around the country believe it's more like 1 in 100 births.
Now, I've heard people talk about the dietary issues changing on there, but it could very well be the culmination of all of these. Kind of arbitrarily go, oh, yeah, well, those guys said it's this and that. And it's...
Well, autism is a complicated condition, but here's what we know. The first thing is that there is a familial predisposition to autism, and the familial predisposition or the genetic component has to do with an inability to methylate. There's a methylation deficiency, meaning that people in these families with this genetic predisposition cannot clear metals from their system. And what happens is that as people live in an environment that has, you know, air pollution and water pollution, heavy metals burden their body. And over a period of time, we all begin to carry heavy metals in our system. And if we have this inability to clear them, we have an accumulation of heavy metals, and that is part of the pathology in autism, because these heavy metals, when not cleared from inside the cell, disrupt intercellular communication. The fundamental pathology of autism is the inability of nerve cells to talk to each other properly. Now, what has happened is that mercury in vaccines, mercury is a heavy metal, highly reactive free radical metal, mercury in vaccines tends to cause a rapid accumulation of mercury in the cells of these kids who have this familial predisposition or this inability to methylate or the inability to clear metals. And that's why with the vast majority of autistic cases, the children are born normal. And then after 2 or 3 years of life, when their heavy metal burden becomes significant, and in children who are vaccinated with mercury-containing vaccines, their heavy metal load increases more rapidly, you begin to see the symptoms of autism. Now, in the past 5-6 years, and actually from 1996 forward, we had this very rapid proliferation of wireless technology, meaning that these information-carrying radio waves are in the background environment, and these young kids are being exposed to those background waves. Now, what happens is that when the information-carrying radio wave triggers a cell membrane response, active transport channels close down in the cell membrane, meaning that the permeability of the membrane becomes less so that nutrients cannot get into the cell, but more importantly, the metals get trapped inside the cell. And we believe that that's why we're seeing this very, very rapid increase in autism over the past decade, because it is linked to these information-carrying radio waves shutting down the cell membrane and accelerating the damaging effect of the heavy metals.
Well, that it makes total sense, and it doesn't. I don't understand why this is something that can't be. Is it that people aren't listening, or you're not getting a venue? I mean,
Well, quite honestly, James, this paper that we have coming out in a couple of months will be the first time in a medical journal that anyone has really talked about this mechanism that I just described. So that one of the reasons that we're actually, you know, able to publish this paper is because we have clinical data from a very innovative center in Nashville, Tennessee, called the Internal Balance Clinic. And what has happened there is that they treat very, very severe autism cases. And in fact, you know, people come from all over the world when nothing else has worked. So the most severe autism cases are the cases that Tamara Marier, who is the person who runs that clinic, sees. And about a year and a half or 2 years ago, she began treating the children for detox, you know, the detox protocols, in an environment that was completely free of these information-carrying radio waves. And when she did that, after a period of time, she began to see clearance of these heavy metals. And the interesting thing was that the heavy metals cleared based on molecular weight, meaning that the light metals came out first, and then after a period of time, the heavier metals came out. Now, what that indicates is that the cell membrane is becoming more permeable in the absence of the exposure to the information-carrying radio wave or the electromagnetic radiation. So that this is a back-end validation of not only the mechanism of harm, which is closing down active transport, but it also presents a tremendous amount of hope for autistic patients. Because what Tamara is seeing in her clinic is that after those children begin to clear mercury and uranium, very heavy, now the heaviest of the metals, and this takes sometimes 40 to 50 weeks, but once they begin to clear the heavy metals, the symptoms subside, meaning that the autism symptoms actually begin to go away.
Well, that's amazing.
So that this is an absolutely important breakthrough. And it also is, again, it's a double-edged sword because it tells us that the information-carrying radio waves, the background concentration of these dangerous radio signals, are having an impact and causing more and more autism cases. But it also has given us clues for how to effectuate efficient detoxification of metals in these children so that the symptoms can be corrected.
Well, it's just new as opposed to being listened to then.
It's brand new, and you know, by the end of the year, we're hoping that we have generated a whole lot of discussion in the medical literature about this approach, and we hope that we're going to be able to help numerous young children.
All right, well, hold on. I want to take a little quick break and come back and continue. Well, this is good because you're not only getting a warning, you're not getting the person blowing the trumpet and then running away, you're having a warning and a solution, which is awesome. Something that you just don't hear in these times. Either you don't get the warning or you get the warning, now you got a solution. So we'll be back to continue to talk to Dr. Carlo right after this break. Feet to the Fire live each week at this time. We'll continue. Hang in there.
In less than 30 days, internet radio stations will have to pay music royalty rates that are not fair. Broadcast stations don't have to pay these high fees. Satellite radio doesn't pay them either. Only internet radio stations are being forced to pay these high royalty rates, which will put thousands of them out of business. Call your congressmen and senators. Tell them support the Internet Radio Equality Act. Find their phone numbers at SaveNetRadio.org. Keep independent internet radio alive.
Greetings, I'm James Othianchik, Black Knight of Talk Radio. Feet to Fire is now well into its fifth year of broadcasting. Though our online archives may have many shows from the past years, it doesn't contain all of them, especially the earlier shows.
So after many requests and with exclusive arrangements with Interstreams Radio, we are now running vintage Feet the Fire radio shows. The original broadcast radio stations, the sponsors, and contact information may have changed, and some are no longer functional. Also, some of the earlier shows may have not had the same audio quality you're used to in the current Feet the Fire shows. This is because these shows have been preserved in their original unedited broadcast form. So join us each week for replays of vintage Feet the Fire radio shows exclusively on InterstreamsRadio.com. When you hear the word addiction, perhaps you think of extremes such as alcoholics and heroin addicts. But actually, millions of people are walking around with brain chemistry that causes feelings of sadness, emptiness, and emotional pain that have driven people to be addicted to tobacco, food, and even TV. Anything to momentarily divert the attention from those feelings, at whatever cost. And prescribed drugs are often many times more dangerous and addictive than the symptoms they aim to treat. AddictionSupplements.com have proven supplements that supply the brain with the nutrients it needs to naturally rebalance the biochemical system, which is the real cure for the real cause. AddictionSupplements.com has cutting-edge supplements designed by real science and real doctors, such as Dr. Charles Gant, MD. Interested in turning your life around? Point your browser to AddictionSupplements.com. You want to host your own radio talk show? You provide the voice and the content. We do all the rest. www.innerstreamsradio.com for more information.
You're listening to
The Black Knight.
So we're back with Dr. George Carlo. Welcome back. So really, you're bringing us good news. If you really look at it, there is, okay, here's a problem, but here's a solution.
That's right. And it's important that people understand that there is a way to solve this problem. It's not going to be easy, but there's a way to do it, and that's critically important, because one of the things we see, James, when we talk to people around the world, really, is that when people are faced with a fact that threatens their own mortality, they react to that with a denial first. So that most people who we talk to who use cell phones or who have Wi-Fi simply don't want to hear that there's a problem. And it's almost a neuropsychological response that, you know, there's nothing we can do about this. We can't handle it. So that the fact that there are technological solutions available actually serves to allow people to hear the message clearer. So that if we're able to empower people to protect themselves and their family, then they're more willing to actually listen to what we have to say about the problem. And I can't emphasize enough that we believe we are on the verge of a very, very serious public health catastrophe, because the information carrying radio waves disrupt fundamental physiologic processes. I've talked about this disruption of intercellular communication, but the other thing that happens is that when the cell membranes close down, free radicals build up inside the cell, and those free radicals, as part of waste product, interfere with DNA repair. And we have evidence from numerous studies around the world now that this interference with DNA repair results in the formation of micronuclei inside cells. And these micronuclei are pieces of DNA that function well enough to form a membrane around themselves. And when the cell goes through apoptosis, which is the normal process of programmed cell death, so that a new cell, a fresh cell, can come in and take over the job of the cell that has, you know, lived its life. When the cell goes through apoptosis, everything that is inside the cell is released into the interstitial space where the nutrients flow and that type of thing. And these micronuclei, because they have membranes, are able to thrive in that interstitial space. They're able to clone themselves and then proliferate. And this is a mechanism that is consistent with the development of tumors. And we now indeed have, from around the world, there have been more than 20 studies done looking at the occurrence or the risk of brain tumors associated with cell phone use. And in those papers, there are more than 300 statistically significant findings showing an increase in brain cancer associated with cell phone use.
Well, I'm very interested in this, very, very, because I have two things that puts me, I guess, above many or risk, is that, one, I travel around the country during the week, and I carry my cell phone with me, so I am, like, continually bathed in it. And two, I live in a building which had the wise decision to put cell phone towers way up on top its chimney. And I did use this little distraction device you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an interesting thing. Was when I put it on, turned the phone on in my truck where I'm driving literally through rural areas,
mm-hmm.
I actually felt a relief. I guess I can put it. I don't know how else to say it, and I didn't. I noted it and whatever. But when I came home with the same cell, I felt this kind of an oppression. It's subtle, but it's there. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Maybe that's not working, or And then I realized, well, I'm standing underneath a cell tower.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of significant that if I was put out in a kind of a free environment, that I felt a difference, but then back underneath the cell towers that way at the top of the building, I felt this, I can call it as an oppressed feeling.
Well, you have a couple of things operating there. The first is that the information-carrying radio waves, or the waves that come from the cell phone, the dangerous radio waves, if you're in a small environment, the noise field technology that you have will be able to cover, and impact radio waves in the general vicinity of where the cell phone is, for example. But when you go back into your home environment, you have two things. First is that the little device that's on your phone does not really protect the environment of your home, so you're really unprotected in that background environment. The second thing is that we have this phenomenon called resonant cavity production. And a resonant cavity is a place where these information-carrying radio waves get trapped. And a classic example of that is, when you're in an airplane and you land and everybody turns on their cell phone. Well, because the fuselage of the airplane is metal, it is a resonant cavity, meaning that those information-carrying radio waves or dangerous radio waves that are coming from the cell phones get trapped inside the airplane. Now, the same thing could be true in the building that you live in, because depending on the material that the building is constructed of, and, of course, there are metal and steel girders, and you also have concrete, and you may have other materials that are part of the construction, you very well might have a resonant cavity in your apartment. And again, those are the kinds of things that we are now trying to teach people. We have a course that we teach to professionals and to clinicians through our Safe Wireless initiative. And again, safewireless.org is our website. And we teach professionals how to go in and actually do a risk assessment in a building, or a risk assessment in an office or home. And then based on the risk assessment, by identifying hot spots and resonant cavities in the area, or in the environment, we're able to identify primary, secondary, and tertiary interventions that will help mitigate that risk. The course, it used to be called CERSA, to certify electromagnetic radiation safety advisors. We are now going to be calling it EMR University, but all of this will be through the Safe Wireless Initiative. I believe our next courses, we have one in Chicago in October, and then one in California at UCLA in November. And if anyone is interested in learning more about that, they can go to the website. But what's happening here is that it's becoming more and more necessary to have professionals who are able to do these risk assessments, so that risk management recommendations can be readily made that are specific to the problem. See, your environment at your house is different from the guy next door. So there's no one-size-fits-all intervention, and that's why this risk assessment, risk management process is so important.
Well, that is a kind of a warning and secure, knowing that there's things you can do about it. And I definitely want to check into one of these active radiators type things. So I figure if I put that in my little studio here, and if I don't have wireless and I turn off my phones or I keep them out there, can you actually make an environment relatively safe by doing something like that? Or do you have to have like a Faraday cage around you?
No. Yes, you can. And that's again, if there's any good news in the message, that's what it is.
Okay, hold on. We're going to take the top of the hour break for the local stations, and we'll come back in about 4 minutes. We'll come back and continue talking about this, because this way, there's something that we can actually do. You don't feel like a victim to somebody putting up cell towers. You can't do anything about it. Even if they do, there is something you can do. So I'm really excited about that. And we'll be back to hear more right after this.
This is James Othianchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, and the creator and host of Feet to the Fire. Feet to the Fire is a weekly live syndicated radio show that explores the sciences, the spiritual, and the paranormal without paradigm bias. We're in search of truth with a capital T, on the edge, without falling off. This radio show is designed for distribution on broadcast, satellite, and internet radio stations worldwide. Are you a program director or owner of a radio station or network and are interested in carrying the live show? Well, it's easy. You just need a broadband internet connection or a KU-band satellite receiver to receive the live show. You simply agree in good faith to broadcast the show reliably, consistently, and in total, as is, without editing content. Well, no worries. The content completely complies with U.S. FCC broadcast regulations. You may overlay your commercials or announcements during the local time slots provided per hour. It's easy whether you use professional automation software or manually insert them yourselves. What's the cost to receive our signal? Nothing. It's free. The commercial time is purchased by our advertisers and funded by private donations to support the show. We just need you to get it out there. If your station or network has a large pull potential, we'll even provide the show in a canned format to be broadcast on your system at a later date to accommodate your program schedule. In fact, the show is wholly owned and independently operated and is available to be picked up, so to speak, by a larger network or distribution system and even negotiate a custom clock for commercial time. Help to get out the information shared on Feet to the Fire and provide quality programming for your listeners. Email us at f2f@ipsmediaworks.net or call 888-863-2722 during the week for more information. Feet to the Fire is a synergistic team effort, and we need your help. Thanks for listening, and reach for the skies within.
able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Park without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Sports from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised.
You can contact James live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll-free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose Direct Chat with James or join the official group chat room. You can send email to James at f2f@innersights.com. That's f2f@innersites.com. There is a video chat room to see James in action, as well as other F2F listeners. www.ivisit.com has the free software to download and access the Feet to Fire video chat room. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised.
We are talking with Dr. George L. Carlo, who has written a book, Cell Phones, Invisible Hazards in the Wireless Age, an insider's alarming discoveries about cancer and genetic disease, also has a website, safewireless.org, and he is spending time telling us the problems with wireless and the solutions. And welcome back, Doctor.
Thank you, James.
We're already getting people who are sending email and whatnot about various devices. And I know you, being an advocate for the safe wireless, you're not necessarily endorsing any one in particular. But is there some kind of standards? Does somebody test them that people can look for?
Well, you know, what's very unfortunate is that you have had over the past 4 or 5 years entrepreneurial interests who have actually come in with products that don't work and taking advantage of the fear factor to make a buck. And what we have done in the Safe Wireless Initiative is we have sort of taken it upon ourselves to test and evaluate virtually all of the potential interventions that we're able to bring into our lab, if you will. And we have found that, unfortunately, about 90% of the devices or products out there simply don't do what the sellers of the product say they do. The claims are overplayed. So what we have been able to do is categorize interventions into three types: primary, secondary, and tertiaries. And the primary interventions that we know work include the active and passive noise field. Using a headset as a primary intervention is still a good primary intervention, and we recommend that the air tube type headset is a little bit better than the wired headset, The reason for that is that the wired headset, while it allows you to hold the phone away from your body when you're using the phone, and by moving the near-field plume away from your body, you prevent penetration of those information-carrying radio waves deep into your brain or into other spots on your body. But the wired headset attracts ambient information-carrying radio waves so that there is actually a higher exposure to the ambient radio waves when you use a wired headset. So we like the air tube headset better. In terms of other primary interventions, I mean, some things are just common sense.
What do you mean by air tube?
There's a headset out there, a type of headset out there. There are probably three or four companies that make them. And this headset has a it attaches to the cell phone, so you can move the cell phone away from you. And then there's a microphone, and from the microphone up to your ear, there's an air tube, so that the technology is like a doctor's stethoscope. So that there's a diaphragm, and it vibrates, and then you're able to hear the sound through the air tube, the way a doctor would hear your heart beating. So that prevents a wire from actually having to go all the way to the ear, and therefore that prevents this accumulation of background radio waves to the head. Now, the other thing that we recommend to folks is that if you can use a speakerphone, so you can keep the cell phone antenna away from your body, and then, you know, as I said, that prevents penetration deep into the brain. If you're not using your cell phone, turn it off, because when your cell phone is on, it is making a connection to a base station, and that brings information-carrying radio waves to your body. And the other thing that we recommend is that people not carry the phones on their waist when the phone is on. And the reason is because the flat bones of the hip are where about 80% of your red blood cells are formed. And when you have the phone on your hip, you have exposure of, you know, forming a blood-forming tissue in the marrow of the flat bones of the hip to these dangerous information-carrying radio waves. All of those are what we call primary interventions: the active passive noise field, the headset, the air tube headset. The Bluetooth headset is actually better than no headset. But the Bluetooth headset, which is this device that you see people have hanging on their ear, that also attracts ambient or background information-carrying radio waves. Now, it is possible to take these noise field, either these passive or active noise field devices, and attach them to either the cell phone or attach them to the Bluetooth, and that is useful in masking the radio wave so that it's a primary intervention in that it stops the cell membrane damage, or it masks the wave so that it does not trigger the cell membrane damage. Those are all primary interventions. Now, the second category, the secondary interventions, are energy products, subtle energy products. Some of them use something called sympathetic resonance technology. Others use energy resonance technology.
Well, can I stop you there before you go further? Because I have one more question on headsets before we go past that. I was told, and I've been banking on for the last couple of years, by an engineer to take and wrap the wire that comes from my headphone in a powerful ceramic magnet, kind of make some turns around it. And, in fact, I have two magnets that are sticking over one another with the wraps in between it, and that would kill this radiation that would travel up the wire.
Well, and that's true. That's absolutely true. The problem is that what travels on the wire is not the cause for concern. Because what travels on the wire is electromagnetic radiation that has a magnetic component that is primary, and the magnetic component is not what we're worried about. What we're worried about is the information-carrying radio wave that is in a much higher frequency.
So it acts as an antenna? Is that what we're saying?
It acts as an antenna.
So it's really not related to the phone in as much as just having a wire hanging from your head?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. All right. What about putting a, well, it'd be kind of awkward, but putting a magnet structure on the end by your head? Would...
A magnet is a subtle energy intervention that restores intercellular communication so that you can have a magnet, you can have a diode, you can have a sympathetic resonance, like a, they have a, something called a Q-link, for example. It's been out there for a long time. You can have an energy resonance technology, which has been out there for a couple of years. All of those subtle energy technologies restore intercellular communication so that they address the symptoms, but they do not address the cause.
Okay, all right. My best bet then is to, most effective would be when it's time for me to get into a headset, which is nearer because the end is breaking, that I should look into one of these air tubes.
Air tube headset would be good. Noise field technology would be good.
Okay.
A subtle energy type technology as the secondary intervention would be good. And then, of course, in the tertiary area, as I mentioned before, anything that enhances your wellness, good diet, exercise, all of those standard things actually help a great deal with regard to these information.
Yeah, because I would imagine that all things being equal, if you had two equal people, two equal cell phone exposures, whatever, if one was under great stress and not taking care of the physical aspects, that alone, given the stress of the headphones, would be a big factor as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, in other words, you're asking us all to be responsible.
and I think that's the first place to start.
Yeah,
good. And there's common sense involved here, and there are some technologies that products that can be bought. I mean, what I would do for listeners, because I don't endorse or I don't recommend any products per se, but if they go on the internet and they Google noise field, or if they Google subtle energy or magnet therapy or sympathetic resonance or energy resonance, any of those, they would be able to be directed to places where they would be able to purchase some of those interventions. Now, I have to give you a very, very important caveat here.
Okay.
Those interventions, especially the energy interventions, the secondary interventions, those interventions should only be used by people who are not symptomatic. In other words, if people have symptoms of electrohypersensitivity, multiple chemical sensitivity, if they have alcohol-related disease, if they have substance dependence-related disease, any of those symptoms indicate that you have cell membrane damage already occurring, and those interventions should not be used by those people unless it's under the care of a physician or a clinician who understands, how to balance these things. Because if you have symptoms, that means there's already an active pathology. And when you add now another overlay of energy, you could make the symptoms worse. So that if people are not, and people who are sympathetic know, or people who are symptomatic know that they're symptomatic. If they're electrosensitive, they will know it. And so that what we recommend highly is that they, if they gather the information on some of these interventions, they can pull it down from the internet and then go to their doctor with it.
We've actually had a guest on the air here who didn't mention it, but in talking later found out that she was a psychic. And whenever she goes to fairs or conventions, she has to have someone locally find her an area where there's no EMF, because she literally will get headaches and migraines if she was in a hotel, for example, that has a Wi-Fi system installed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these things would be wonderful for her to check out, then, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And again, people who have those higher sensitivities, like the person with psychic, abilities, they are in the category of what I would call, near symptomatic, so that just trying these as an experiment without a clinician involved would not be a good idea.
Okay.
We also strongly advise against pregnant women using any of these interventions.
probably including using a cell phone.
Pregnant women should not use a cell phone, and pregnant women should not use any of these interventions. And the reason is because the fetus will be, you know, exposed to the information carrying radio waves, which, you know, cause damage, but also the energy interventions will tend to make the fetus not develop strong enough intracellular communication facilities on its own. It's the same reason why you would not have a person taking heavy antibiotics during a pregnancy, because the immune system in the child will not be normal when the child is born. And the same thing occurs here with these interventions, especially these energy interventions.
You know, because actually these energy interventions would be analogous to if you have, say, noise outside your house and you put on one of these wave, white noise wave things that make it sound like a wave crashing. The noise is still there. You're just kind of covering it up with a noise that is more acceptable to your brain.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, you know, that's why we say if you know, pregnant women, symptomatic patients, people who already have signs of the condition. And again, the reason I lump electrohypersensitivity, multiple chemical sensitivities, alcohol-related disease, alcoholism itself, drug addiction, all of those conditions have as a common pathology the disruption of intercellular communication because the cell membrane is damaged. And if you have the cell membrane damaged, then you don't want to introduce these artificial intercellular communication restorers without a clinician oversight.
So when you I kind of cut you off before there. I wanted to get back into that thing. I think were you going on to like these pendants and things, or were you going on to something else?
Well, the pendants and those things are these energy products that I'm referring to. So that, you know, for example, a pregnant woman should not wear a pendant.
Okay. So how what about these active ones? Like these things, there's a clock I think that's out that has one of these active projectors in it. Is that kind of the same thing, only you're actively projecting this background noise?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And if it has a power source, then you're able to control the dispersion in a room or in an area.
But it's still going to be one of these deals that kind of cover it up rather than remove it.
Right, right. And that's why, for example, in your home or in your office, we strongly recommend that you not use Wi-Fi in your home, that you use wired, if you can get fiber optic, that's great. But, you know, Ethernet is great. Much more efficient than wireless, and of course doesn't have the exposure to the dangerous radio waves.
Even though you said that, just to mention this, I do have a wireless in my house for just one computer, and I got the card, I was going to get around to doing it, and I'm doing it.
No, you have to plug it in. I'm telling you, Jim, just, you know, plug it in. It's safer. The other thing that people don't realize, when we go into homes, or, you know, the folks who we've trained go into homes and do measurements with the detectors. Now, by the way, on our website, there are a couple of different detectors that we have a little store there. We don't make any money on these because we're a nonprofit, but we do make them available so people can purchase them on the site. But they will be able to detect information carrying radio waves, and there also is a detector that will help get the lower frequencies like magnetic fields that come from faulty outlets or, you know, dirty electricity in your home. But the thing that we notice all the time is that people have these cordless phones in their house. And the cordless phones, when they're on, they're plugged in, and when they're on, they produce a great deal of these information carrying radio waves. So we're also recommending to people that they go back to the regular telephone in the home, the hardwire phone in the home, if they can. And if they can't, if they're so tuned in, you know, for example, sometimes you don't even have now in new houses, they don't even have the phone wire. They used to have 5 or 6 pair wire put in the wall. They don't even do that anymore because so many people now are using wireless computers and they have the cordless phones. You can use these noise field devices at every place where you have the generation of a wireless signal. But the best recommendation is to simply eliminate the cordless phone because, again, I have to emphasize this, that our concern is that the background level of these information-carrying radio waves is reaching a very, very serious level. And every one of these wireless devices contributes. It's, you know, you're piling straw in the back of the camel. And eventually there's going to be a piece of straw that breaks the camel's back. And we're concerned that with 3 billion cell phones and millions of Wi-Fi devices and other wireless technologies now out there, that we're getting close to that straw breaking the camel's back.
Now, you were talking about like wireless. Now, have you and your group looked into things like HARP and perhaps some of these mega radio stations and the effects of those kind of radio waves on people?
Well, it's very similar. Yes, we have been monitoring all of this. What you have is that wherever you have packeting of data on a signal, a carrier signal, so that, for example, if you have a cell phone, the carrier signal for a cell phone is 1,900 megahertz. 1,900 million cycles per second is the oscillation. That's too fast for your body to pick up. But it's also too fast for computers to pick up to decipher what's on a cell phone call. So information needs to be packeted on this carrier wave. And those packets, that packeting is done by various forms of, you know, modulation and coding. And those packets form a secondary wave.
Right.
And that secondary wave is what triggers the cell membrane response. So that's the mechanism. So wherever you have packeting of information, whether it's a satellite radio, whether it's a mega radio station with, you know, high kilohertz transmissions, whether it's the old-fashioned television, Wi-Fi, cell phones, police radio, all of those are information carrying radio waves, and that's what we're concerned with.
Now, is it possible that they simply change the packet configuration? Could that solve it and yet still keep the infrastructure?
Well, it doesn't appear to be the case, because what happens is that the packeting of information, it's like the analogy that I use, James, is that, you know, when I was a young boy, my mother had a clothesline. You know, if she washed the laundry, put it on a clothesline, the clothesline was on a pulley. And, you know, she would have the clothes on the clothesline. The clothesline itself is like that 1900 megahertz signal. But the clothes on the clothesline are the data packets.
Right.
When she would pull the pulley and move the clothes through the air, they would waffle back and forth, and that's a secondary wave.
Oh, I see.
And the protein sensors on the cell membrane pick up that wave, and because it has never seen it in nature before, interprets it as dangerous.
Yeah, we don't understand that we think, well, if it's not seen in nature at all, the body will just ignore it, but that's a pretty big assumption we're making.
Right, and that's not what happens here.
Okay,
because the resonance, you know, the body recognizes it and then interprets it as danger, and that's what starts the cell membrane to close down.
All right, well, hold on. We're going to take a break and come back and continue. Oop. We are live talking with Dr. George Carlo about cell phone, actually any type of wireless type of radiation protection, what it does and what we can do about it to prevent it. So we'll be back live.
Are you getting your greens? I'm James Othianchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. Now you can have your greens and drink them too with Innerfood by Inner Health Botanicals. Innerfood is 70% organic and 100% natural without fillers and is a whole food product totally assimilated by the body. Innerfood is spirulina, chlorella, dulse, kelp, spinach, alfalfa, barley, wheatgrass, rosehip, beetroot, and much more in real amounts, not just a sprinkle to fill out an inflated but potent list of ingredients. Just mix a tablespoon in your protein shake or in your favorite fruit juice and you are good to go and go and go. Other greens on the shelf typically weigh 300 grams and sell for between $35 and $70. Innerfood is a full 400 grams, 33% more, for $39.95 plus shipping. Simply go to our website, feedtofire.com, and click on any InnerHealth botanical banner and you're ready to order. Or call 866-762-9238 and be sure to mention you heard them on Feet to the Fire. Innerfood, building health from the insides out.
Most people think of addictions relating to drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. However, obsessive-compulsive actions taken to excessive levels have the same biochemical goal. They stimulate the creation of natural feel-good hormones, but at a cost that causes more harm in the long run. And prescribed drugs are often many times more dangerous and addictive than the symptoms they aim to treat. AddictionSupplements.com have proven supplements that supply the brain with the nutrients it needs to naturally rebalance the biochemical system, which is the real cure for the real cause. AddictionSupplements.com has cutting-edge supplements designed by real science and real doctors, such as Dr. Charles Gant, MD. Interested in turning your life around? Point your browser to AddictionSupplements.com.
Make sure you stay tuned, because you're listening to Feet to the Fire.
$70 million Americans suffer from sleep deficit. I'm James Athayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, and I'd like to tell you about Earth Pulse Magnetic Field Supplementation. While using the Earth Pulse device, I found that I drifted off to sleep faster, I slept deeper, and I woke up more refreshed, and it does much, much more. Call them right now at 888-211-7888 or check out their website at www.earthpulse.net.
But wait, there's more. When you buy a new digitally programmed Earth Pulse version 4 magnetic supplementation device and use the special Feet to the Fire coupon code F2F, you'll receive an instant $50 savings. No rebates to get lost in the mail. Just $50 more in your pocket on your way to better health.
888-211-7888 or check out their website at earthpulse.net and use the special Feet to the Fire coupon code F2F. Earth Pulse. Deeper, more restful sleep, or your money back.
You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
Você está escutando ao Feet to the Fire.
Bienvenue. Vous écoutez Feet to the Fire.
You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
With the Black Knight.
We are back and we're live talking with Dr. George L. Carlo, cell phone radiation dangers. And welcome back, doctor. You know, I just realized that when I'm out on the road, I actually have two phones going. There's the company phone that I deal with that's like in the glove box or whatever that's on, and then my phone. And I also realized that I have a wireless extension phone that I rarely use in the house just sitting there on. I mean, I don't, you know, here I am having you on, I'm talking about it, testing out these devices, and then I got this simple violations right in front of me that I never even thought about.
And this is, again, you know, you're not alone. Most people don't connect the dots. You know, they don't realize that we're really, from a technological point of view, you know, putting ourselves in this soup of these dangerous radio waves every day. And we really need to be aware first of the danger, and it's a real danger, and then be prepared to take these common sense steps to mitigate the danger.
Is there any way to test for this cellular damage, you know, forensically, as in autopsies or something like that?
Well, it's actually the intercellular communication is very easy to test for, really. There are a number of cognitive, you know, short-term, long-term memory retention type testing batteries that can be very easily administered in a clinic setting, you know, almost like an eye test. But these are cognitive tests so that you can see if your performance is diminishing, there has to be some disruption of intercellular communication. We also have ways now. There are two studies now out of India that show that you can do a mucosal scrape. You know, take some saliva from inside the mouth and actually test that for the presence of micronuclei. And if you have micronuclei, that means that you have free radicals that have interfered with DNA repair. so that there are clinical screens that are available. And again, these are some of the things that we teach in our course, our, you know, EMR University. We have one that's called, you know, Wireless Safety 101. And we have the CERSA, the certification, and we offer that for both professionals and for, clinicians, who are, you know, treating patients with these conditions. So, so yes, there are clinical intervention tools, and those are very, very useful. And again, this is why when you have patients who are symptomatic, they really need to, be under the watchful eye of a clinician before they, begin using any of these interventions.
Yeah, that is, this is really something that has to be, thought through, because these little things we could use. Now, what about remote controls for your TV? And what about, for that matter, cathode ray TV? TV
those
anyway?
Those are usually infrared. Those are not wireless signals. They're not
okay.
Information carrying radio waves. No.
Okay. So, is there a way for, say, home phones? If you want to have a wireless phone in your house, is there a way to do it other than these information waves, like infrared or otherwise? Is there another way to do it?
Well, I think that there would be, yes. And the difficulty is that until consumers demand it, there's not a commercial expedient. There's not a commercial incentive to do that. And but there are other ways of making these connections for telecommunications. And you know, hopefully, you know, the fiber optic infrastructure is step one, you know, being able to have these mitigating technologies like noise field and energy interventions, that's step two. But in the long run, we do need the kinds of things that you're alluding to here, which is an incentive for researchers to and for companies to actually come up with alternatives to wireless signaling.
Well, I think that's it. We have a need of us to have our power, I guess, to demand these type of options. And just like I've noticed now, going into regular supermarkets, I see like organic Doritos, which didn't exist, a couple of years ago. But apparently, they're getting the message that consumers are interested enough so that the big companies now are starting even to take note and to make these things.
You know, and it's interesting that you mentioned the supermarkets, and you know, of course, the big places like Walmart and Kmart and those places. They have a system called RFID, which is radio frequency identification of stock, so that there are these little RF signal devices in the back room that send signals out to all the pieces of merchandise, and that's why, for example, when you walk out of a Kmart or a Walmart without paying, alarms go off. Those are radio signals. So it's another source. This RFID is another source of these information carrying radio waves that are out there that consumers have no idea about, and that no government regulatory authority is even looking at.
You know, it's true. When I first proposed having a cell tower up, and I'm trying to remember why I found out. I think it was just a notice put out by the building owner. I called I found out who it was, and I called the company, and I talked to them about this, and they referred to me to these studies showing the thermal qualities of microwaves and how that you know you're so far away from them, there's zero thermal qualities. But they completely ignore this aspect of what you're talking about, the actual cellular disruption that it causes.
That's part of the bait and switch, if you will, because the guidelines, the emission guidelines, for example, that the FCC enforces on, you know, wireless phones, have to do with the field intensity or field strength, which only would deal with the thermal mechanism of harm, and we do not have thermal mechanisms of harm operating here. At this point in time, we don't have thermal mechanisms. So those guidelines that the cell phone industry is fond of touting, saying that, you know, we measure SAR, specific absorption rate, that's a measure of heating. It has nothing to do with the mechanism of harm that we're talking about here. And this is one of the problems, is that there's a very orchestrated effort to mislead the public, and it is misleading the public. The industry knows what's going on here, and they're not squaring with the public, and they're not squaring with the consumers. The other thing that we're concerned about is this, is that the amount of field intensity or the strength of the signal coming from a cell phone or a BlackBerry or other wireless device is the near field plume, or the concentration of the near field plume is dependent on the amount of power that's needed to push the signal. Now, what's happening with these devices now is that you can watch movies, and you can take movies, and you can take photos, and you can send data, and you can attach to the internet all from your phone. Well, to carry all of that information, you need more power. So what is happening is that devices such as BlackBerries and PDAs will have excursions where the intensity of the field goes way beyond the 1.6 watts per kilogram SAR that these prototype devices have to be tested for at the FCC. But once you get up into 20 to 25 watts per kilogram SAR, you're actually going to begin to cause heating of tissue. So that what you have here is a drift toward higher power coming from these devices, and again, they're not regulated, so there's nobody looking after the consumer. And because of these, movies and connecting to the internet, excursions are likely going into the thermal range already. And that means that we have now two mechanisms that will be operating. One of them is the biological mechanism that we're so concerned with, this closing down of the cell membrane, as well as a thermal mechanism, which is the, equivalent of what happens inside a microwave oven, so that the technology trend is moving toward more danger, not toward less danger.
Now, speaking of the microwave, if it's properly sealed, how much of a danger is it for these cellular issues? Because they've, they're tested against the thermal issues, allegedly anyway. I mean, are these things leaking information?
The interesting thing, and there's a misconception about microwave ovens. Microwave ovens, if they leak raw microwaves, in other words, microwaves coming out of the microwave oven, those are oscillating at 2450 megahertz or 2.45 gigahertz, which, 2,450 million cycles per second. That is too fast for your body to pick up. So that a raw microwave simply passes through you without any effect at all.
Again, it's that data packet that you're talking about.
Right, but see, there are no data packets on microwave ovens. But if you have a high amount of power pushing that microwave, it causes a thermal effect.
Right.
So that most of the leakage that we have now today, because we have the screens and the shields on the microwave ovens, most of that microwave leakage from the oven does not impact healthy people. It does not trigger. Now, if a person is electrosensitive, it will impact them. But if they're not electrosensitive, the raw microwave is not a problem.
There's a question coming in about Alzheimer's, and has there been a relationship here with Alzheimer's?
Yes, and you have two things. If you look at the fundamental pathology in Alzheimer's, you have disruption of intercellular communication. Now, the disruption of intercellular communication in Alzheimer's, has to do with protein plaquing and a bunch of other things that happen in the brain tissue itself. But the pathology is disruption of intercellular communication, so that the information-carrying radio waves accelerate that process. So that what we're seeing in our registry, for example, are people showing who have used cell phones for 10 years, for example, and they're exposed to these information-carrying radio waves. They're having symptoms of Alzheimer's in their 50s, so that there's an early onset of these symptoms, and that is consistent with the information-carrying radio waves disrupting the intercellular communication and accelerating that pathology.
Have you found that, say, if somebody's bombarded by these things, such as myself, and I was to move into a more rural environment and became more sensitive to leakage, no more Wi-Fi and all that stuff, if any damage is done that hasn't become too symptomatic, can it be reversed? Can it be cleansed out? Or is it, we're talking about something that's kind of permanent that we're doing to us? What's that point?
Well, here's, again, there's a little bit of good news and bad news in there. The bad news along those lines is this, is that if you're in a, you know, in an exposure environment where you're continually bombarded by these information-carrying radio waves, your cell membranes close down. The permeability of the cell membrane is greatly reduced. And there is messenger RNA that sits at the endomembrane, the protein layer inside the cell. The messenger RNA folds differently when the cell membrane is closed than when the cell membrane is open. And when the messenger RNA folds differently, it carries that information to the DNA in the mitochondria and in the nucleus. So that what happens is that when the cell lives out its life and it goes through mitosis, which is normal cell division, the daughter cells have the information that the closed membrane is the normal membrane. So that what you have here is an environmentally induced genetic change that causes the daughter cells to have the damaged membrane, and that is the symptomology that we see in electrohypersensitivity, autism, and some of these other chronic conditions. So that it's an environmentally induced genetic change. That's the bad news. The good news is that if you eliminate the cell membrane damage, so in other words, no more damage coming from the cell membrane because you have put a primary intervention in place, then what happens is that if you bring in secondary and tertiary interventions over time, you have another environmentally induced genetic change, but this time it goes in the other direction. As the cell membrane becomes more permeable, the messenger RNA picks up that information, and that is what comes to the daughter cells. Our cell turnover models are telling us that it's about 24 months for you to begin to see this reversal in an environment where there's no more damage being done. So again, this is a little bit of good news that it is fixable. And see, all across the board, this is fixable. There's no reason for this to be an epidemic. We have technological interventions. We understand the mechanism. We understand how to fix it.
Well, that is great, because I'd mentioned before, we usually get the warning. A lot of guys spend a lot of time tooting the warning bell, the trumpet, or the town crier. And that's not bad. I mean, glad somebody is. But it seems that there is a business for those who stir up a hornet's nest, and they don't seem to put in the extra mile to solve it. And I'm just thrilled that you come with both the warning and the solution, and it's not like you're also profiting by either. You're kind of like setting this up in a non-profit sense to say, look, this is serious. I've learned about it. I've had my personal experience. We're going to tell about it. So that's great, but hold on. We're going to take a break and go for that last little segment, and we'll get the doctor to get all his information, how you can get in touch with him and learn about these eels. We have links to his book right on our website. If people go to the website, you can purchase that. Or you can go to his website to get that and more information. It is safewireless.org. But we'll be back to hear final words from Dr. George Carlo right after this.
On May 15th, independent internet radio stations will be forced to pay an increased music royalty rate they can't afford. Stop this music fee for internet radio that neither broadcasters or satellite radio stations pay. Call your congressional representative today. Ask them to co-sponsor the Internet Radio Equality Act introduced by Representative Jay Inslee. Get involved. Help reverse this royalty rate increase. Go to SaveNetRadio.org.
Beru Foundation research has shown that the geometric patterns fundamental to modern physics have existed and were available to us long before physics, per se, was considered an independent science. Baruch Foundation research demonstrates that the Hebrew alphabet, in its early rabbinic form, is at the core of a universal language of gesture. People from all cultures, even those who are blind from birth, and children before they speak, make spontaneous use of this natural language of gestures. This work started in 1967 at the Western Wall in Jerusalem with Maru founder Stan Tenen's prayer for something that would help to bring into harmonious perspective not only many yet explained scientific phenomena, but hopefully as well the unjustified causes which pit men of various cultures and religions against one another. The Maru Foundation, founded in 1983, is a registered 501c3 private nonprofit research and educational corporation and needs your help. Visit www.meru.org on the web for more information. When you hear the word addiction, perhaps you think of extremes such as alcoholics and heroin addicts. But actually, millions of people are walking around with brain chemistry that causes feelings of sadness, emptiness, and emotional pain that have driven people to be addicted to tobacco, food, and even TV. Anything to momentarily divert the attention from those feelings, at whatever cost. And prescribed drugs are often many times more dangerous and addictive than the symptoms they aim to treat. AddictionSupplements.com have proven supplements that supply the brain with the nutrients it needs to naturally rebalance the biochemical system, which is the real cure for the real cause. AddictionSupplements.com has cutting-edge supplements designed by real science and real doctors, such as Dr. Charles Gant, MD. Interested in turning your life around? Point your browser to AddictionSupplements.com. You want to host your own radio talk show? You provide the voice and the content. We do all the rest. www.innerstreamsradio.com for more information.
We are back and really having a great talk with Dr. Carlo, Dr. George Carlo, website safewireless.org, who has some very serious detailed explanations of not only what is cell phones doing theoretically, but the mechanism on how they're doing it and solutions for stopping this stuff. And I want to welcome back Dr.
Thank you. Thank you, James. Appreciate it.
Can you tell us anything and anywhere people can get a hold of you or your products that you can learn about, anything like that at this point before I forget?
Well, I mean, if anyone wants to reach me, they can send an email to drcarlo@safewireless.org. And it's, you know, it's just Dr. Carlo without any punctuation, drcarlo@safewireless.org. And also, you know, on the website, there's a tremendous amount of information about the problem and some of the general technological interventions. As I've mentioned, I do not do any endorsing of products, and I stay away from that. But we can, you know, listeners can go to the Internet and Google noise field, subtle energy, some of those other intervention technologies, and be able to help themselves along. We also, the Safe Wireless Initiative is a membership organization, you know, and we have, you know, all the information on the website is free. We don't charge for that. We do have fireside chats and other types of events where, you know, we can interact with members of the Safe Wireless Initiative. That information is on the website as well. And really what we're interested in doing is spreading the word. And if folks out there who are listening are interested in becoming a volunteer in helping us in some way, we would really love to hear from you. We again, you know, this is a huge problem. We think it's probably the most significant public health risk that we're going to be facing in the next decade. And we're hoping that we're going to be able to make a difference so that this does not become a public health catastrophe.
Do you have any PSAs that people can download? I mean, I would run PSAs if you have on this stuff, and then if you don't, I do that. Perhaps you can put something together on that, because I think
sure, maybe we can do that. I would love to do that, and really, you know, appreciate your offer to run them. you know, we do have quite a bit of video. You know, for example, in February, I gave an address to the Parliament in Westminster in London, and the talk was, you know, the Parliament wanted to know what we were doing in the Safe Wireless Initiative to help solve this problem. And you know, it's interesting that in Europe they follow something called the precautionary principle, which we do not follow in the United States. But the precautionary principle is a better safe than sorry principle. And so they're very interested in the fiber optic and the noise field and some of these other interventions, as well as understanding the mechanism of harm. Now, there is a 15 or so minute video of that. Maybe we can send that on to you, or maybe you can provide a link to that, because it goes through some of what we've talked about here, but with more of an eye toward intervention. And then and perhaps, James, we can link our websites together.
Yeah, I would like that. I could put that in with the archive, for that matter. And if you want to even have access to the archive, I can snip out your part of it and get it out. Because that information is really important. I mean, it's rare, from my experiences doing this 5 years now, it's rare to have somebody come out and point out the problems and offer solutions. It's what we really need.
Well, at this point, you know, we look at this as a, you know, we're at the early part of an epidemic, and we can fix it, and that's the most important thing. You know, we're trying to save disease from happening. We're trying to save lives, and we have a short window of opportunity where we can have the maximum impact, and that time is now.
Right, and it is an aspect where it's not magic, it's not theoretical, it's real, and as well as the solutions. And,
yeah.
And I think you portray it in a way that you have explained why, and you explain what happens. It's really a good package, well-readed or needed right now, especially with the fact that cell phones are growing. I didn't know that there was 3 billion cell phones on the planet. That's almost one of every two people have one.
And you know what's amazing? You know, people don't realize, you know, a billion of anything is almost unfathomable. I heard an analogy that if you started today and you simply wanted to count to a billion, to 1 billion, it would take you 32 years. So that 3 billion cell phones, 3 billion wireless signals on all the time connecting to base stations creates a matrix of a web of exposure that is really unprecedented.
Do you know of building materials? I had an idea for a piece of drywall that when you create the drywall, you have three layers of screening that have about half or maybe a third of the wavelength of what you want screened out, in this case microwaves, to lay that screening in the drywall when you build it. So that when you just build a house with drywall, that alone would screen out so much of it. And then if you put a shade or something that also has screening material over your windows, just kind of pull it down or whatever, even though it would leak around the edges, it would stop so much of it. Is there any kind of building materials being made with this?
Well, there are. There's radar absorbing materials, and there are paints, all kinds of things that can shield. The problem, though, James, is that if you put that in drywall and then you have a generator of these information-carrying radio waves inside to form a resonant cavity.
Oh, yeah.
So that it's, again, these are the types of recommendations that we teach people who come through our courses to be able to evaluate.
So you have to have a clean room inside, otherwise you'd bake yourself.
Right.
Just like the guy in the lead rooms you were talking about.
Exactly. So it's a little bit more complicated, but again, it's doable, and we're trying to provide this education. I mean, you know, there should be a cottage industry building up now that is risk assessment and risk management for exposure to wireless radio waves, and you know, hopefully we're going to see that happening. And when that does, that's another tremendous step towards solving the problem.
Well, Dr. Carlos, I appreciate you spending your wisdom and solutions. Thank you for stopping by and letting us know.
Okay, well, we'll be in touch again, James. Thank you so much, and I really appreciate you taking the interest to devote a couple of hours to this. It's really a public service, and I'd like to say thank you to you.
Well, I you're welcome, and we will be in touch, and we'll talk to you again.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, that's it. We're back next week live, Feet to the Fire.
The ancient one, my old friend, the one who walked before, the one who walked again, the ancient one of old, with wisdom for the new, revive our inner sight, retell your timeless truths, oh.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSync Radio Network of Stations.